Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, do you know what the fastest growing language globally is? You might be surprised because research has shown that emoji, the language that is referred to as emoji, is the fastest growing language in history. And it apparently is ruining young people's English skills. Nearly every one of those surveyed said that they believe that there had been a decline in the correct use of English alongside this phenomenal growth in the use of emoji as a language. So is it actually destroying language? To discuss this, I am joined now by emoji research consultant, Keith Broney. Keith, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Fastest growing language in history. That's quite the accolade.
Yeah, it's quite the claim. And although I wouldn't say it's incorrect, I think it's also slightly reductive. Emojis are not a language in and of themselves. They actually reflect the languages that we speak globally via their pictographic nature. Of course, the little smiley face with his eyes wide and beaming is a representation of that facial expression that we see each and every day of our lives. Hopefully, if we're living relatively happy lives with relatively happy people around us. The sad face is, of course, a representation of sadness. But it's not a language in and of itself. It's a paralinguistic tool that complements our language when we're communicating digitally with, of course, text messaging, social media posting, etc.
And is it ruining our ability to speak our own languages, whatever they be? It doesn't matter whether they're Japanese or whether they're English or whether they're French or what have you. But is the fact that we're going for this shorthand, this little smiley face or laughing face or whatever it is, to convey something that we would have had to type out in language form previously, is it undermining our language skills?
So again, I find this a little bit reductive and unfair to the natural conventions of text messaging as opposed to prose, because I think everyone that's listening will agree that text messaging isn't prose per se. It's actually a representation, yes, using letters, but a representation of speech. So when we text message, we convey what we would have said in a face-to-face scenario more often than not, as opposed to what we would say in, say, a formal email or a letter or what have you. Context is very important. We, of course, since we communicate digitally in so many different ways, in so many different contexts, you can see emoji begin to seep into more formal contexts. And although these rules are not, you know, strictly solidified for all of time, it's still quite unacceptable to begin you deploying emojis or even emoticons, their predecessors, in those formal contexts. But when we look at them being used in text messaging, in interpersonal messages, they're conveying the same communicative content that we're seeing in hand gesture, in posture, and in, of course, facial expression, and even vocal inflection. These are all key aspects that when we're communicating with one another, we actually need to know the context of the words that people are saying.
So is it that it is ruining language, or is it just making language a little bit snappier and more, I suppose, easier in some way to convey? Like, I'm a user of emojis. So if I'm texting or WhatsApp and, you know, various people, friends, family, whoever, I will put in the smiley face or the laughing face or what have you. And sometimes, and this probably reflects me in some way, particularly if it's the sad face I'm using, I find it a lot easier if I'm feeling miserable about something to convey a sad face emoji to somebody than to go, do you know what, I'm feeling a bit down today or whatever. There are certain things that are easier to express via an emoji than via actual use of proper words.
Absolutely. Putting together a sentence to convey a kind of sad state of mind is a difficult task. It's very hard to commit to text messaging, something that maybe you're not particularly proud of or embarrassed of or struggling with. Because, of course, as we've, of course, seen with the recent news regarding Facebook, a lot of that data is there for, well, forever in some respects. So it's very, very difficult for someone to commit down in words a very difficult message. But if you want to just convey very quickly and astutely that, look, I'm not feeling great today, there is the sad face emoji to utilize there. And as we kind of keep on coming back to this kind of fear that they're decaying the English language, well, first off, they're used by all sorts of people, all sorts of people across the world with all sorts of different languages. So if they are decaying our language, it's certainly not just English. It's all languages. But I would argue that it's not a sense of decay. Languages always move and evolve. And emojis are just a new linguistic tool to complement our languages, our language usage in text messaging. Because prior to the introduction of emojis and, of course, their text-based predecessors, emoticons that I referred to earlier, we kept on seeing something called the negativity effect, where text on its own, when you're conveying it amongst people, was generally being rated by recipients as being a little bit more negative than originally intended. There was none of these non-text-based cues that we have in face-to-face interaction, like hand gestures, like facial expressions. Emojis allow us to imbue those key bits of context into our text messaging. And a key thing about the study that we saw that being discussed heavily is this was a survey of people's opinions, of course, and they felt that this was the case. And I mean, that's fair enough. You can have a perspective on these things, but it hasn't been substantiated in actual literacy data up until this point.
So the literacy isn't declining, even though we might perceive it to be declining.
That is the case, yes. Now, I am definitely open to seeing data that does show this, but when we had the same kind of fears associated with text-based abbreviations, like using GOR and the number 8 to convey great, we actually found that there was a similar fear amongst the population. There was similar media coverage of it. But when studies were deployed to actually test literacy rates alongside the usage of these text-based abbreviations, we actually found that people that use the abbreviations were actually better in terms of their spelling, their vocabulary, etc.
Okay, so even people using shorthand sort of ways of expressing themselves could be totally literate and have no decline in their literacy. Interestingly here, Keith, lots of people are comparing them to hieroglyphics. Mm. Brian on Twitter says, emojis are the 21st century hieroglyphics. It's all been done before. And then he put in a very happy, smiley-faced emoji. But John Moylan says the same thing. He says, emoji is the original language of man, cave drawings and hieroglyphics. We have used sort of picture graphic things throughout time, even before we had language, probably, to sort of, you know, tell a story in a way. And that's kind of what emojis are doing. They tell the story of how we're feeling to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're using them for is to convey what's lacking in our normal text message conventions at the moment. And of course, if you're going to take it all the way back to hieroglyphs or similar pictographic representations of concepts or words, the pictograph is a simple way of summing up that this particular concept, maybe in the case of a cave drawing, is present here. Avoid the bear, watch out for the elephant, etc., etc. And of course, we've moved away from that in the last couple of centuries. We've, more than the last couple, but we began to get new conventions that were more shared by individuals across the globe in different languages. But then when it came to text messaging, of course, there was that dearth where it came to the lack of emotional clarity in regards to many of the messages.
So around tone, because that's one of the difficulties. That's one of the differences between, you know, textual misunderstandings, because you send somebody a text and you're thinking you're being very witty and they think you're being really rude or sarcastic or mean or angry or something. But if you put in a smiley emoji at the end of it, they go, oh, all right, they actually meant it as a jokey thing. Is that where it came from, to try and give tone when we spend so much of our time now messaging textually?
Absolutely. In fact, I've referred to the text-based emoticons a couple of times during our chat here.
And they're like the emojis, but they're like the colon with the half a bracket or whatever for the smiley face or the sad face.
Yeah, exactly. For those that aren't aware, the distinction between emoticons and emojis is that the emoticons are created using the letter glyphs that we already have on our keyboards, colons, close brackets, etc., etc. While the emojis are actually specific code points where underneath the icon, there does exist a black and white representation of that particular expression or object. It's encoded within our digital communication standard, which is generally speaking the Unicode standard. Most digital devices across the globe use this standard. So when you're messaging someone who happens to be across the globe with a different device, that you see the same icon roughly. And that word is quite important in regards to emojis, because as you were saying there, we see the smiley face, we know that they were intending this message to be sarcastic, but there actually is some aspects of emoji that they themselves have lead to more confusion than we would ideally like. For example, across different devices, Apple devices, Samsung devices, certain icons are designed slightly different. Now, in 99% of the cases, the meaning is still very, very clear. This is a crying, laughing face. This person is kind of trying to represent via emoji the same concept that was covered by LOL. But in many instances, especially on Samsung devices, certain icons really deviated in their design from the norm seen across the likes of Apple devices, Google devices, Sony devices. And we had another level of miscommunication where people that were using the rolling eye face on an iPhone, their recipient on a Samsung device saw a kind of expectant face. And although this has been changed this year, there's still many people that will be going around with their software not updated. And especially in certain contexts, if you're talking with someone new that you don't know, perhaps you're using one of these many new dating digital services. If someone says, tell me more, and uses an eye rolling face, and you see a very expectant face, that communication is going to tank very, very quickly.
All right, I'm going to put my sad face on now because I'm afraid we are out of time. Thank you so much for talking to us. That is Keith Brony, their emoji research consultant, who will be curating the Science Gallery at Trinity College face to face, a scientific exploration of emoji on Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of May. If you want to hear more about emojis then, and lots of you talking about emojis as well here, he says, you have to laugh. Language is going from picture glyphs back to picture glyphs. Make up your minds, please. Hashtag emoji confused face. And that's from Michael in Dublin.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.